Right on, right on, right on. Right on radio.
Right on radio.
Right on radio.
Right on radio.
Narrating the end of the world.
The end of the world.
This news just in.
Ready? Go.
We are your news now. Providing the play-by-play for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right on, right on, right on. Live right.
Live right.
In the real world. The Right On Radio.
For continuous coverage, the latest information, separate fact from opinion. Get the truth.
Get the news.
You're listening to Right On Radio.
This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand.
In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save.
Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live.
His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ.
Thank you.
the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Wow, what a powerful song that is. And by the way, the words of this song are true. In case you're just new to this. However, I'm going to be very honest with you. Some songs, like the one we just heard, where the words are true, because it is quoting the Word of God and telling you about the power of God. But when it says no guilt or shame, you know, I'm not afraid of death. I wish all those things were true. And part of the reason why they're not true in many of our lives, I'm not going to speak for you, but I would say most of us, it's because there's still parts of the body that have not died in Christ. And this chapter we're going to be continuing in Matthew chapter 10, is a very challenging chapter. You know, it's one thing when we're learning from the prophets of old or the apostles in the New Testament, but it's another thing when God himself is speaking. God himself, the one who has the absolute authority, the one who sees all of your thoughts and my thoughts, the one who knows all things, who knows how many hair are on your head and how many tears you've cried. This chapter, for me, has revealed some things in myself that, quite honestly, I'm ashamed of. So when there's no guilt, no, I'm still dealing with some stuff. But the walk with the Lord is a gentle one. And the fact that you know of areas in your life, come on, let's be real. I have areas in my life. But the fact that we know about those and there's conviction is evidence of the Holy Spirit working in you and working in me. And I'm surprised the Holy Spirit has time for you, because I'm a mess. I say that facetiously, of course. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, we're picking up in Matthew chapter 10 in verse 16. And this is one of the chapters that will infuriate those who are not in Christ. Why? Because unless you have the Holy Spirit, you cannot understand this chapter. Even though I'm going to spell it out for you, what some of the meanings are behind the words, you won't understand unless you have Christ. This is a chapter that people of the world would say, see, he's contradicting himself. It was changed by man. No, there's no contradiction. You just don't have the Holy Spirit, person of the world, and you cannot understand. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the remainder of the chapter, and then we'll start going through it. But just as a reminder, at the end of this broadcast, if you do want to have prayer, myself and all the people listening will pray along for you and with you. And if you have a testimony, we love to get those out there too. And I know that I missed a testimony last week, Misty River. So please put it in here again at the right time, and I will be sure to put it up there. Well, I'm going to pray before I read it. I was going to read it and then pray, but no, let's. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior, the one who went to the cross and paid the ultimate price and took away the sting of death and took away all the power of the world over us, Lord, and has given us the right to choose, Lord. And the more we choose to die to self, the more alive in Christ we become. Lord Jesus, it is a privilege to not only read the words in which you spoke as God in the flesh, but Lord, to study it and to read it aloud with an audience that you have put together, with this great community that you have formed. And Lord, it's no mistake that the abbreviation is the rock, because you are the rock in which we stand upon. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you give us discernment, you give me the words, you minister to each and every single person here in the areas of their life that they need you the most. And Lord, it is without your Spirit we would have no understanding, but we do have your Spirit, and we can boast in it. And as Jesus was giving instructions and sending out his disciples, Lord, these are instructions for us today. We know that it was not just for 2,000 years ago, but this is the living word of God, and it is relevant to us today. Lord, help us understand. With your grace and your mercy and your boldness, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to be picking up in verse 16. I'm hoping to get through the chapter today. Again, I could spend a year, probably a year and a half to 2 years, just studying the book of Matthew, the depth of it. But I want to get the master principles and really the precepts, the main stuff. Because by the grace of God, I pray that we can get through the whole Bible, actually. You know, the whole Bible, including the Old Testament. I'm focusing on the New Testament now, of course. But I'd like to study the entire Bible and, you know, have it in our repertoire here. So I don't want to spend an exaggerated amount of time on any scripture, although if the Lord leads me, then that's where we go. picking up in verse 16. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be as weary as serpents, but as innocent as doves. But be on guard against people, for they will hand you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will even be brought before governors and kings on my account, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about it or what you are to say. For what are you to say will be given you in that hour. For it is not you who are speaking, but it is the Spirit of your Father who is speaking in you. Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and the children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. But whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he may become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they have called you the head of the house, Beelzebul, how much more will they insult the members of his household? So do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim on the housetops. And don't be afraid of those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are two sparrows not sold for an Assyrian, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father? But even the hairs of your head are counted. So do not fear. You are more valuable than a great number of sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before people, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before my people, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to turn man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be the members of his household. The one who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And the one who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And the one who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. The one who has found his life will lose it. And the one who has lost his life on my account will find it. The one who receives you receives me, and the one who receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person in the name of a righteous person shall receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones just a cup of cold water to drink, in the name of a disciple, truly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Oh, Lord. Give us understanding, Lord. All right, so I'm just going to look at the chat for a second here as I scroll back up to the top and start going through this. Be brave. Obviously, the chapter is about sending out the disciples. But what do you think are the major precepts and concepts of this chapter? I think it's really clear once you go through it. Please put in the chat. I'm just curious to see what. There's no wrong answers. There's answers that are more right than others. But I could be wrong on that too. So I come to you with humility. And I really mean humility. Because this chapter, as I said at the beginning, kind of scares me. So first of all, even those of you who are in Christ and have a basic understanding of this right off the bat, just from hearing it, okay. How many of you want to sign up? Okay, I'm going to send you as sheep amongst wolves. Go, enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. Jesus doesn't say go and enjoy yourself, does he? In fact, that's what the world says. And the world is the opposite of the kingdom of God. Where does Jesus say in the scriptures, go and be happy? Go and be happy all the time. Joy, joy, joy. He told you why he came. In this, he came to separate you. He didn't come to bring peace. He brought a sword. People of the world will hold this chapter against you. Do not fear death if we follow him. That is definitely a point that is being made here. Look, let's just start with one of the very basic concepts here. Verse 16, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep. People don't like being called sheep. And in fact, you know, as a kind of honorarium to Bill Cooper, who I learned a lot from, you know, I always used to call people sheeple on this program, and I'm probably going to get back to it because it's accurate. And if Jesus said it, why can't we? But we are referred to as sheep by Jesus. Why? Why are we called sheep? Well, just think about what a sheep is. It's a food source, first of all. A sheep, obviously, you know, can be used as clothing and everything. There's many uses for a sheep. But a sheep is not like a vicious attack animal. When it's attacked by wolves, it has no defense. None. Other than running, and quite honestly, they're not very good at running. And a wolf or a pack of wolves that attacks the sheep have absolutely no physical defense. But what does the sheep have that the wolves do not have? The sheep has a shepherd, and the sheep are entirely dependent on the shepherd for protection. you know, he could have, another animal? You know, he could have said, you're like a bobcat. Now, a bobcat can get eaten by, you know, I don't know, whatever animals, you know, but if there's enough of them, they can get a bobcat. But a bobcat has a defense. He didn't say you're a bobcat. You are a sheep who needs the shepherd to defend you. And it's important to understand this concept, because even if we are attacked violently, and that's what wolves do to sheep, we're really not called to fight back. I'm not saying there isn't a time when you defend yourself. Of course, I'm not saying that. But you should avoid physical contact by all means. And that's not easy. So he's sending you, because this, you know, this is relevant to you 2,000 years later, but he's talking to his disciples. If you are a disciple of Christ, he's talking to you. I'm sending you a sheep in the midst of wolves. And by the way, don't forget, I think it was in chapter 5, I'm thinking, that he says, there's wolves among you. There's wolves even in your midst, inside the church. You know what? It just occurred to me. Because a wolf inside of the church really wants to take people away from the church and get them to follow them. Or follow someone else other than God, depending on the level of wolfness that they have, I guess. But you know, some people would say that I'm a wolf. And here's why. I've actually been accused of this before. Because I do this Bible study on a Sunday morning at around the same time that other churches are having their service. Don't forsake the assembly. Oh, people will go to you, internet guys, because you'll say stuff that we can't say inside of a bricks and mortar, like coming against abortion, talking about the schemes of the devil, because they don't do that in a lot of churches. And I want to say to you, first and foremost, that I'm in favor of going to church. We started this Bible study on Right On Radio when the churches were too scared of the government to open. Remember, they closed for over a year? Remember that? So they were sheep who were afraid of the wolves and just did not go. They just didn't go. They didn't even show up. So be as weary as serpents and as innocent as doves. So you need to know that the evil is out there. But you need to confront it with gentleness as doves, which is contrary to everything the world has taught us. Verse 17, but be on guard against people. Kind of a big statement, right? Be on guard against people, for they will hand you over to the courts and flog you in the synagogues, and you will even be brought before governors and kings on my account as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. Now you might be thinking, I'm not going to stand before governors and kings. And I might be thinking that even myself. But here comes the conviction. Then we're truly not walking deeply enough in Christ. If you'll never be put in front of a person of authority, you're not doing it right. And neither am I, if that is the case. I actually think that some very high-profile people listen to this broadcast, and one day I will stand and give testimony. And pray you are able to as well. But when they hand you over, don't worry about what you are to say. For what you were about to say will be given you in that hour. For it is not you who are speaking, but it is the Spirit of your Father who is speaking in you. So in that day, and this could be anyone, doesn't have to be before kings or governors. When you are being persecuted, and you can just step back for a second, don't react in emotion. Just pause. And then when you open your mouth, the Holy Spirit will speak through you. This is God saying this, so you know it's true. But I think you have to consciously not react emotionally and have to trust in Him. You have to be that sheep dependent on your shepherd. And if you are dependent on your shepherd, God cannot go back on His word. Verse 21. Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. That's a troubling statement. Brother will betray brother unto death. You see, that was relevant in those times. It's just as relevant now. You see, if you and your brother are standing there and the accuser says one of you is going to die today, many people of this world would say, not me, it was him, it was her, not me. I'll say whatever you want. Because they are afraid of death. But what does it mean, but the one who has endured to the end will be saved? There's only one way to endure to the end. It's with the gift of God inside of you. The one who is born again will endure to the end. You will. God will give you the words. And you will not back down. Because God, who's in you, will stand up. But whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. So if you're not welcome somewhere, if they've rejected you, just like where we left off last time, you shake the dust from your feet and you go on. You're not going to convince someone who does not want to be convinced. You're not going to convince the devil to repent and turn to Jesus. And it's a harsh fact, and this we're going to get into it in just a minute here. But if you do not serve the risen Christ, knowingly or unknowingly, you are serving the devil. You could be the greatest guy in the world, greatest gal in the world, charitable. If you're not born again, you don't make it. The next part, it says, well, the title in my Bible is The Meaning of Discipleship. So let me just talk to you about that. And I've said it before, but because we're talking about disciples who are being sent out, it's really good to define what a disciple is. A disciple is a disciplined learner. And by the way, I did that new goggles series, 12-part series, and you really want to know about discipleship and how to grow. It's based on the Word of God. I suggest you go check out that series. It can be found on Right On You, the same place where the Right On community is, but Right On with the letter U. Actually, I think I have. I've put it up on the screen here for a second. Yeah, go to rightonyou.com and New Goggles is there. It's free, and I suggest to you it's worthwhile. And if you've been through it, go through it again. I believe that you've probably missed about 60% of it. Verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he may become like his teacher, and a slave like his master, if they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they insult the members of his household? If they hate Jesus, they're going to hate you. That's really what that's saying. I'm not going to go too deep on that. So again, Jesus saying you're going to be a sheep, you're going to be sent out of wolves, they're going to persecute you. You won't get through all of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Actually, I never really touched on that. Through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. This is something that I think most of you would have catch up on right now. The cities of Israel. Cities is plural. It is not one particular geography in the Middle East that was named that in 1949 or 47. Doesn't matter. See, Israel are God's people, and they're spread out throughout the cities of the world. And they're not the ones that call themselves Jews, because Christ clearly says that those who say they are Jews are not Jews. So it's God's word, not mine. I don't even understand it fully, to tell you the truth. So do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed. or hidden that will not be known. Why would Jesus say that? Because everything is going to be revealed. Everything. You know, right now, there's many of us crying out for justice in the world. How come these people can do this and the government is above the law? They clearly break the law. We see it every day. They break the law and they don't get punished. It's not fair. It's not. It's clearly not fair. But justice is coming. And it will be fair. They will be exposed and they will be punished. And God's judgment is much greater than any appointed human judge. And we don't wish severe judgment on these people. We wish them to choose Christ and repent. But the fact is, nothing that is concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. And Jesus did this perfectly by example. And here's the contrast. Jesus being all-knowing. So, you know, going back, there's the hidden knowledge, the mystery schools go back to ancient Egypt. They've passed along these little secrets and all this little thing, these little things, these powers. You can increase your chakras, man. You can have power over people. Here's how to do manipulation. Here's this, here's that, that secret societies have done forever. Jesus, knowing all secrets, what did he say? What I tell you in the darkness, you go tell it in the light. I hold no secrets, Jesus is saying. And what you hear whispered in your ear, so that little small silent voice of God that communicates with you sometimes, he says, go proclaim it on the rooftops. God didn't hold any secrets back. You know, and just think about it. Think about the people that God chose throughout history to have a role, a significant role in the Bible. There's incest, there's murderers. Those things, maybe God would have said, I'm going to keep secret. The fact that Jesus comes from the bloodline of a murderer in David. Solomon, the most wise man on earth, going to other deities. God could have kept a lot of these things secret, but he didn't. And he says, go and proclaim these on the rooftop. Verse 28. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. So, listen, I know I'm sending you out. You're going to go proclaim the good news of Jesus. They're going to hate you for it. There's killers out there who really are going to take offense to what you say. But don't worry. Don't worry if they're going to kill you. Don't worry. I wish that was true. And I pray for me and you, if ever put in that position, that we do have the courage. And it'd be one thing for me to say, you know, I'm a big, strong man, and in that day, I will gladly die for Christ. I can say that. I don't know if I'm going to sit there and cry like a baby. I have no idea until you're there. But I'm just going to trust that I have the Holy Spirit in me, and the Holy Spirit will work in me. But can I say that I'm fearless in God right now? No. No. I might be more bold than some, but I'm less bold than others. And I suspect many of you, are there. So don't worry if they can kill you. They can't kill your soul. Good news. But rather, fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. So it's saying, just fear God. Don't fear the devil. Don't fear man. Don't fear judges. Don't fear the police. Don't fear anyone. Fear God. And by the way, if you fear God, you're probably going to have less problems with those people. Then he says, you're more valuable than a sparrow, of course. But verse 30, but even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not fear. You are more valuable than a great number of sparrows. You're an adopted child into the family of God. You know how you love your kids? Well, he loves his kids even more. Verse 32, therefore, everyone who confesses me before people, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before the people, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Many people will think that that means you're going to lose your salvation. No. If you are put in a specific test and you deny Jesus because you're scared, well, Jesus isn't going to go to the Father and say, hey, we got to rescue this person here. You know, we got to stay. No, you denied him. He's going to deny you. Okay. Let's see where it ends up. Doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation. I want to just be clear about that. But if you proclaim him in that time, he's going to go to the Father and he's going to proclaim you to the Father, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will step in and do what is right, no matter what it is. It might not appear right, but it will be right. Verse 34. This is Jesus speaking. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to turn a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be the members of his household. What? What happened to loving, weeping Jesus? What happened to the one who says the two greatest commandments, just love your God and love your neighbor? That's it. Just you get those two things, you got it right. Love. Love. Isn't he the Prince of Peace? So that's a contradiction, isn't it? This is Jesus speaking, and there's quotations. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. What? You see how you need the Holy Spirit to understand this? The world would say that's a contradiction. No, Jesus never contradicted himself. Have you ever seen that there's a t-shirt, there's bumper stickers, it's popular, a popular meme, perhaps, and it's a play on words, the words no, spelt N-O and K-N-O-W. And the saying is, no Jesus, no peace. N-O Jesus, N-O peace. And then it says K-N-O-W, Jesus, K-N-O-W, no peace. So if you don't have Jesus, you won't have peace. If you do have Jesus, you will have peace. He did not come to bring peace to the earth. The only way you're going to have peace is if you, on your own will, choose Jesus. The only way to bring peace. And Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. What is that sword? Well, it's the most powerful thing. It's the word of God. And if you think, oh, well, this is a powerful book. There's no doubt about it. Think of the power of words. Just words you and I can say. Believe me, my wife has said cruel things to me that have cut to my bones, and they still affect me. You know, out of an argument or whatever, sometimes we say things we regret. And I'm still scarred. And I'm sure I've said some things that have scarred others, including maybe even my wife, unfortunately. Although I don't think so. But the word, your body can heal, but words impact you much greater. It's a sword. And the word of God spoke creation into existence. You want to talk about powerful words? So he brought a sword, which is the word of God. And it will turn man against his father and daughter against her mother. You see, the word of God and who Jesus says he is the great dividing line. You either believe he is exactly who he says he is and you choose him as your savior, or you don't. There is no middle ground. If you are trying to walk on the edge of a sword, it's smaller than a tightrope, folks. There's no way you can do it. You're going to be on one side of that sword or the other side of that sword. And you see, even listen, from my own experience, when I was younger, when I first became filled with the Holy Spirit and was born again 25 years ago, I went and told everybody, including my family. And boy, they didn't want to see me for a while, as they didn't want to hear what I was saying. Did my mother and father turn against me? Yeah, they did. For a while. Then I went to them with more gentleness as I grew up in the Lord. But it can turn your families against you. Obviously, it can turn your neighbors against you. Your government against you. Every other religion in this world. Now, this isn't, Christianity is not a religion. This is a faith. There's a difference. But every religion or worldly system that's out there, they all acknowledge Jesus. And they try to tell you he's someone different. They do not agree with whom he says he is. And Jesus does say he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. Is that a dividing line? He's basically, in that statement alone, he calls every other religion or faith or belief system lies. And if we are disciples of Christ, we call them lies too. Can you see how people will hate you? You know, your sister is into yoga. You tell her, That's of the world. That's of the devil. You're doing yoga. It's of the devil. Just something like that. Whoa, hold on. She thinks she's just exercising. It's of the devil. Think she's going to like you? No. Now, I'm not suggesting you go and approach someone like that. I think there's a little bit more. If you're going out against wolves, you may as well be a little bit more cautious in your way. But do you see how it can happen? And here's another statement of Jesus in verse 37. Again, we're going into quotation marks. So he's saying this for a reason. The one who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And the one who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And the one who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. The one who has found his life will lose it. And the one who has lost his life on my account will find it. This is probably the best recruiting chapter in the Bible, wouldn't you say? Come on in. Yeah, no, join the club. Become a Christian. We're going to send you out. We're going to teach you some stuff. We're going to send you out. No. You love me more than your mom or dad. No, right now, if you accept me, this is Jesus saying, you better love me more than your mom and dad. Can you imagine how people of the world react to this? If you love your kids more than me, you're not worthy. Be gone out of my presence, says Jesus the Lord. Oh, the world doesn't like these words. How could that be a God? The world would say. Let me just give you a perspective on these verses. When temptation comes in my life, and it does, probably in yours too, temptation usually is not from the devil, by the way. Temptation is usually your flesh or the love of yourself. And you wanting to be happy. Not saying being happy is a bad thing. There is joy in the Lord that's different than happiness, which is temporary. But when the tempter comes, am I worried about what my natural father is going to say, or am I more worried about what God is going to think about it? If I'm going to do something and it's stupid, am I more worried about what my kids are going to think? Oh, Dad, you're a clown. Why would you do something that stupid? You know, hold my beer, watch this. Could be embarrassing to the family. Am I more worried about embarrassing my children or how I look in the eyes of God? That's what he's saying here. Fear the one who can take your soul, not the one who can just take your life. Verse 38, and the one who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Look, I know this is going a little bit long, but I'm going to finish the chapter and we're almost done. This is probably the most important part right here. The So actually, verse 39 is just important, but let's just look at 38 for a second. The one who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. What does it mean to pick up your cross? You know, some people, and I'm not coming against jewelry or anything. Please don't hear anything I'm not saying. But I used to actually wear quite a bit of jewelry. I have some rings and some necklaces, and I used to wear a cross. And I was very proud to wear the cross. That word was used specifically. Because it was more of a vanity thing. And you know what? If you wear a cross, boy, I hope that others don't find fault in you. Because you're boasting in it. Or you're wearing it for the wrong reason. I don't know why I said that. I shouldn't have, but it came out. But to take up your cross. So the cross was obviously a cruel torture. But the cross has one purpose. It's death. What Jesus is saying, if you do not take up your cross and follow him, you are not worthy of him. It means we must die to ourselves. We need to experience death. We need to experience death to the flesh, death to the old ways that the world has taught you, that are contrary to walking in the Spirit. Now, none of us have been able to put every area of our life to death. We all hold on to some things. You know, I've shared on this broadcast many times, there's that song that we used to sing in church, the old hymn, I Surrender All. A couple times I've sang it and I meant it. At that minute, I meant it. By the time I was having lunch, I didn't mean it anymore. Because I know there's parts of my life I've not surrendered. Why? Probably because I like them. I know that's wrong. I pray that the Holy Spirit works in me and works in you. Because actually, if you want more joy, which is contrary to happiness, it's through more death in yourself. We're talking about things of the Spirit, not physical, you know. When the Bible says, pluck out your eye, it's just saying it'd be better for you, but it's not actually telling you to pluck out your eye or cut off your arm. So you have to choose to die to follow Jesus. Because in verse 39, it says, the one who has found his life will lose it. But the one who has lost his life on my account will find it. We really do need to choose to surrender our lives to Jesus. And remember, even those secret parts of your life and mine are going to be revealed. what a horrible day that's going to be when all of my secrets are out, laid before the Lord, and I'm standing in the midst of his glory and his righteousness. And you, O good saint, are going to experience the same thing. Probably not to the degree I am. I hope not, anyways. Lord, give us more time to repent and grow in you. Lord, give us more time. There's a whole bunch of stuff I need to get the strength in to kill off in myself. Verse 40. The one who receives you receives me. Remember, this is us being sent out and Jesus is telling you what you're going to experience. So the one who receives you will receive Christ as well. And the one who receives me receives him who sent me, the Father. The one who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's word. Let me just stop there for a second, because, you know, on this show, I've obviously picked on some of the so-called, the self-proclaimed prophets. But it's not said often enough. The Bible says that all are called to prophesy. That means you and me as well. So just like we looked at the definition of the word disciple, a disciplined learner in the way of Christ, we need to understand what a prophet is. A prophet is one who speaks the word of God. So if you have a word for your brother or sister, and you say, listen, and I'm just thinking of Psalm 147, because that was read last night on the prayer call. Listen, the Lord's really telling me to say, you know, you need to read Psalm 147 or just start reciting it. Or Psalm 91 is a go-to, you know. You're being a prophet of God. Do you know I am being a prophet of God reading this word to you? I'm not a prophet, but I'm called to prophesy. I'm not a minister, yet I'm called to minister. So are you. I have no titles other than a disciple in the way. It's the only title I got. And the one who receives a righteous person in the name of a righteous person shall receive a righteous person's reward. You know, if someone is righteous and they come to your house, man, some people will hate you if you're walking in really in God's love, because you're going to convict them. You know what? I got to give you a quick story. There's a couple annual things that I will attend because I have relationships that are, you know, a couple decades old, and it's good to catch up with some of these people. And, you know, I usually end up telling someone about Jesus. But there's two particular people, and one of them is actually bigger than me. You'd be a formidable enemy. This guy, him and I were friends, but I can just tell you that he hates Christ in me. And this guy watches me like a hawk because he wants to find fault in me and point it out. And I think he really wants to fight me. And yet, almost every single time, I will go and I will stand right, you know, belly to belly with him, not in a challenging way, but I stand there with the righteousness of God and I look him in the eye and I smile. And it confuses this guy. I really like the guy, to be honest. He's a good guy. He's a good husband. But he has a problem with the righteousness in me, which is not of me. It's from the Lord. I pray for him. I really do. And I think, I know that he's going to come to the Lord, actually. But you see, because I listen, some of my actions aren't great, but I really, really will. I never change my stance on the Word of God. I never change who I am in the Lord. I might be a sinner, you know, all these things still. But I don't deny Christ, and I don't deny the power of his word, and I will not compromise on these things. And so when I'm standing in those companies, I'm a righteous man. And whoever gives one of these little ones just a cup of cold water to drink in the name of a disciple, truly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So he's saying that those who will bless you along your way and help to pave the way for those of you who are bold in Christ, the Lord's got something special for them. And, you know, maybe sometimes that's just our calling, is just to make a way for, to support a voice that's going out there and doing things. Just give them a glass of cold water, which is the substance of life. But where this chapter, obviously, you can see how it would confuse the world. The conviction for me is how many areas in my life I have not given over. And it's overwhelming. I was reminded of many of them today, this morning, as I was studying this. You know, I consider myself, you know, to be up there in expert level understanding stewardship biblically, because that's the one thing I really focused on. Have I truly said that, God, you own this house? Not me, not the bank. Have I truly trusted him? And by the way, your finances, many people will say this, but it's true. You want to know where someone's heart is, it's where their wallet points to. And do I give more money to to beer manufacturers or to missionaries? I'm not going to answer that question out loud. I'd say it depends on the month. So what, you know, who are you serving? Am I serving God or am I serving the flesh? It's okay if you think of me less. There's no secret that's not going to be revealed. And I fear the Lord, not this community. And thankfully, this is a loving community. So, hey, if you want prayer, now would be the time to put it in. And I will be glad to pray for you or put in a testimony of some kind. Look, if you need prayer, you don't need to give the entire background. God knows. Don't make it too long. And yes, please use all caps. Thank you for that, Val, for putting that in there. By the way, just while we're waiting, this is a listener-supported show. I got four four people just between last night and today, their credit card payments failed on Podbean's patron program, which is really something that helps because I can kind of bank on it. By the way, currently I think I'm getting about $1,600 per month on that program. You can see it out there, but what most of you don't know is that my expenses just in the programs I need to have and stuff like that is like probably about $700 a month just to do the broadcast, about $700 a month. So that, the support really doesn't all go into my pocket. Plus I have to pay taxes and everything else. The Lord somehow will make a way, but, so just remember I am listener supported. I have DonorBox, I have PayPal, and I have Patreon. You can also buy mushrooms. I actually get a percentage of each sale that you'd use if you go to ror.petclub247.com. That helps support me. And to a lesser degree, I make a couple bucks off of EMP Shield as well. If you go and you put in the coupon ROR, you save $50 and I get a check. And actually, I don't actually do this often, but so I actually just got a check and I'll hold it up for you just so you can see. There we go. $157. Thank you for those who listen. I'm going to do a show on it and yeah, I'm going to be called a grifter or whatever, but with this eclipse coming up, I'm just saying, I think they're going to use the solar flare thing as an excuse and something's going to happen. I'm not predicting, I'm not saying, but if there's a time when they're going to do something, it's probably going to be around April 8th. And, I would suggest if you're able to go to empshield.com and use coupon code ROR. If there's a time when they could do it, this would certainly, because you could blame it on an act of God, right? It isn't actually your government doing it against you. Why not blame God? And so you're not looking at the government. Okay, continue to pray for Bobby, has breast cancer. On mushrooms for 4 weeks now. Okay, and I just hope with cancer, if someone is suffering with cancer, make sure that they take about 10 pills a day. Okay, 10 pills a day. And hopefully within a month, it's going to be gone. And I pray it's an act of God right here, right now, today when we pray. But still, stepping out in faith is not a bad thing with the mushrooms as well. The Lord continues to help us clean up our messes and help us to endure our crosses. Amen. Now, that's a prayer we're all saying today. Eddie is having surgery tomorrow. He's been in great pain almost 2 years. We're hopeful this will help him. Okay. Oh, Core, yes. The shipping in Canada has been bad. Some months have been worse than others. I can tell you that I got a note last week. It should be as soon as next month that they will be shipping out of Toronto in Canada, and the shipments will come much faster and way cheaper because they don't have to clear customs and pay duty on each shipment. It's not them, it's the government that's been making it. But if they can send everything across at once. What I've been doing is I've been tending to buy more in bulk. So I pay less duty and less shipping. Don't just buy one bottle unless that's all you can do. But the price of shipping doesn't go up exponentially. You get better value when you buy more currently, but soon it won't matter. Okay. So everyone here is going to pray along with us. And I'm just going back to make sure I didn't miss any. Quick drink of water. I know some of you want to just, like, if you're listening on Podbean and you're listening to the replay, you just tune out at this point because you don't want to hear a prayer. I'm not learning any intel. You know what? Even if you're listening to this 5 days after it was broadcast, God is the beginning and the end. And if you pray with us, God knew you would pray, and maybe it's your prayer. So don't just get off the broadcast. Oh, they're just praying. I don't need to. And I've done that too. So that's how I know people will do it. But if you pray along, even if it's days or weeks later, God knew you were, and you're just in time. Heavenly Father, first and foremost, thank you for salvation. Thank you for your word, your firm instruction, and the honesty in your delivery. Lord, you didn't promise us a joy ride through this fleshly existence. But you do promise us a much better life, even in the flesh, if we choose to die to ourselves and to choose you and to truly give you lordship over all of those areas in our lives. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will not only convict us more and show us the areas in which we need to truly put to death and give over to you, Lord. But Lord, I know that your Holy Spirit does it in such a gentle way. And Lord, you truly let us choose. But God, we are not worthy of your grace. We're not worthy of your salvation. The fact that you are the Almighty God, and yet you're so gentle with us most times, it goes beyond any understanding, Lord. You can't fathom how great thou art. So, Lord, I do pray for Bobby. And I do pray your grace upon her for this breast cancer. Lord, with just a thought, you can eradicate those cells. Lord, with just a thought. So I pray you turn your thoughts to Bobby, and you give a powerful testimony of your goodness and your healing. Lord, I also pray for Eddie, who's having surgery tomorrow. Lord, it sounds like it's been a tough couple of years. Lord, and we don't always understand why we endure these things. But the one thing that we do understand clearly, Lord, is that all things happen for the glory of God. All things. The most miserable things in the world can be turned for the glory of God, and are done for the glory of God. Lord, how would we know what the glory of God is unless we knew what the opposite was? Lord, this is a son of a good woman who has served you and her family for many years. You know her struggles as well. I pray peace amongst all the busyness and all the things that she's willing to serve in, Lord. And even just this one area, and I pray for her father as well, Lord, and the potential surgery. Lord, I pray you take these things off of her plate and just turn them into beautiful testimonies to the goodness and graciousness of God. So yes, we pray and we lift up Eddie at this moment, Lord. Be with him, be with the doctors, be in their midst, Holy Spirit, I pray. And finally, Lord, I do pray that you do help us to carry our crosses. Continue to show us, continue to strengthen us. Be with this community, Lord. Help us to love one another, to receive each other in your name. No matter where each person is, Lord, and I pray you help the people in the Right On community understand that everyone comes in from a different place. Everyone has been taught different things, and everyone is coming in to the revelation of Christ in their own time and in the time you've set before them. Help us to receive each other and not be judgmental, not be name callers or accusers. Because, Lord, you don't like that, and neither do I. And, Lord, even though you are the greatest authority, you've given me some authority, and I will exercise it in Jesus' name. It's a little bit of grace, but, Lord, thank you. Just going to look for any other prayers. I pray these things in Jesus' name, of course. Lord God, our Savior. You keep giving them away. I know, I do too. I buy extra, and you know what? I buy extra and I give them away to people in need, and they're shocked that you would do that. Like, even, you know, just the other day I gave away a couple bottles, and it's, how much do I owe you? And the person didn't want to receive it as a gift. But I really wanted to sow that. It's more powerful. There's more belief. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for being here. May God richly bless each and every one of you. And remember, be loved. Be loved by God, by me, by each other. Be loved. And if you can really fathom that you are loved, then you will be blessed. Most certainly, you'll be blessed. And when you realize how blessed you are, be the Berean and go and get more blessings from the Word of God, because God, who created the universe, wants to speak to you directly. Trust no man, including this guy, and read the Word of God for yourself. Be the Berean. And when you, after reading, just simply believe, because he is right and true. Have a good one. I'll see you soon. Hey, don't forget to hit the like button and leave a comment. Take care.